All right, thank you for doing that. So I just wanted to start out by saying I am not an expert in dating. I'm just gonna simply share my experience dating as a sick person. I'm not perfect and I make a lot of mistakes. I'm gonna focus mostly on my dating life after I got sober 5.5 years because all of my dating history before that was kind of a mess for different reasons. Although I will say I had two major relationships before I got sober, and I started them with like one or two conditions, but I was like, I stole this from somebody, but like I was functional sick at the time. And then they watched me get sicker, but they fell in love with me while I was healthy-ish. And so it kind of put this idea in my head of like, I need to be healthy-ish to fall in love with somebody. But my health has always been a roller coaster. So I'm just gonna share what it was like dating before CPA and what it is like dating after CPA. Before CPA, so when I got sober, I dated for 3 years pretty consistently. My main two relationships were with two guys. I'm tell you some stories about those two guys. One of those guys, I realize now is pretty toxic, but one time he wanted to make me pancakes for breakfast. And one of my conditions is that I have a lot of food that I can't eat. And one of those foods is nuts. And I can't have anything that's processed on a facility that processes nuts. And he's like, I'm gonna make you some pancakes. And I asked to check the ingredients because I don't eat anything unless I know the ingredients. And then he called me a diva and made fun of me. And I just sat on it, didn't say anything. And I ate the pancakes. And luckily I was fine. I did not have to go to the emergency room. And then like a week later, I was at a friend's house and she asked me if I wanted pancakes. And she actually let me check the box. It turned out there was nuts in there. And so I said no. And I realized, oh my God, just because like I didn't stand up for myself, like I could have easily gone to the emergency room at that guy's house just by eating pancakes because I didn't want to stand up for myself or I didn't know how. And I'd say one of the things that CPA has taught me is kind of like to act the way around a guy that I would act around my friends when it comes to things like that. In CPA, I'm on step 9. And so I'm kind of just thinking this is like, how am I making amends to myself in my dating life? That same guy took me to Target once. And normally I would grab like a big, rolling shopping cart to carry all my things because I have sucky arms. But I was with a guy and I wanted to be dainty. So I grabbed a basket. And then by the end of the trip, I had all this heavy stuff in there and I asked him to carry it. And he called me a princess and wouldn't carry it. So one lesson is, don't date guys like that. But also, I just try not to like change my behavior just because a guy is around. Like I get the shopping cart now. And then the other relationship I was in was just a really good dude, but there was this one time where we were playing video games. Again, my hands suck, so I can't play two players. I like playing one player and switching off. And I had to stop, and he said, "Let's play again." And I said, "No, my hands hurt." And he goes, "No, they don't." I just like, I don't know. I just let it go. Like I let it go, and I didn't. I didn't. I didn't. Whereas like recently I was hanging out with somebody and they said something like that and I spent the entire car ride home reading them the Spoon Theory. So I've changed a lot. So I dated the first 3 years and then at the end of 2018 I got really sick. And that whole idea of no one wants to date the sick girl came back. Because I was no longer functional sick. And again, I thought it was easy to date people when I was a little sick, but no one wants to date me when I was this sick. But then in CPA, I started, oh wait. I started going to meeting to CPA meetings in June of 2019. CPA gave me permission to take up space. It taught me that I'm worthy of friendship and love, just by providing me with a whole bunch of amazing friends who let me be who I am. And like when I came into CPA, I was really isolated and shy. And if you know me now, like I'm not that person. And I think just like having friends get to know me, like brought my personality out again. And also like seeing so many people who are sick, you know, some sicker than me, like in serious loving relationships, just like gave me hope. And so I started dating again. And so some of the ways I make amends to myself is when I meet someone, I just go ahead and give them a list of restaurants I can eat at. I'm like, if you want fast food, we can eat here. If you want medium food, we can eat here. And if you want to dine in, we can eat here. Like here are the only places I can eat. And there's no, because I used to like go to restaurants and try and order something off the menu and then 50% of the time go to the emergency room. Also, as far as like when to tell them how sick I am and what illnesses I have, I try to roll them. I'm just saying what I do. I try to roll them out one at a time. So for example, I wear a neck brace now, and that's like the most obvious thing. So I bring that up right away. And I had an experience recently because I'm single. And so I'm talking to guys, and I brought it up to a guy, and I said, just so you know, I'm wearing a neck brace. And I almost said, but don't worry. It's only temporary. I don't know that it's temporary. And so I deleted it. And I just said like, hey, I'm wearing a neck brace. And something else that I learned, someone was sharing this in a meeting, and I didn't realize that I do this until someone said it, but I've kind of used like the CPA sharing guidelines as a guideline of how to talk to people about my chronic pain who don't have chronic pain, which means like the way that we speak in general terms. And so instead of saying like, well, I got migraine injections that led to this condition on the MRI, like I just say like, well, I had a procedure last September and I had a bad reaction to it. And now I've got a neck thing going on. And that seems to go over better than getting into all the specifics. I'm also really proud of wearing my neck brace on all my dates. CPA gave me courage to use my walker. So when it came to using my neck brace, I was like, okay, if I could do the walker, I can do the neck brace. I also work around my pain. My pain is worse at night, so I try to make lunch plans instead of dinner plans. I have this thing about when I'm looking, I do mostly internet online dating because I'm mostly homebound. And I have this rule that if a guy has like one photo of hiking, being at the gym, boating, or skiing, that's fine. But two or more photos, like I'm out. That's just my rule. My last boyfriend only was available. He'd be like, I'm free next Thursday from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and just didn't have a lot of free time for me. And I realized like I have commitment issues, but I realized like if I'm calling someone my boyfriend, like I want someone to bring me food when I'm not feeling well. I need somebody who like can help me out and support me, and I deserve that. And so it really raised the standards on like the kind of relationships that I was looking for. Also, whenever I would complain to this guy, he'd throw platitudes at me like I literally said, I'm having a bad day, I'm in a lot of pain, and he goes, Rome wasn't built in a day, one step at a time, this too shall pass, and like three other platitudes just thrown at me. And CPA kind of taught me how I want to be talked to about my pain. I want people to say, that sucks, how can I help you? And that's it. I don't want the other stuff. And then the last thing I'll say is that, two last things. CPA taught me that everything is an experiment. I've become more assertive as I work on my character defects. And so I don't put up with as much stuff as I used to put up with. And so when I'm talking to someone, and it used to be like, I'd let 5 red flags go and then I'd be like, yeah, it's fine, but he's cute. And now I'm like, if I get an icky feeling, I'm just like, next, there's another one. Next, there's another one. I just look at everything like an experiment. And I think being more assertive is really helping me ask for the things that I need, whether it's like sexy stuff or, you know, where I need to eat or, you know, my energy level or all that stuff. And yeah, so that's how I'm making amends to myself. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Letha, would you like to share on intimacy?
Hi, everybody. I'm Letha Hero Maui. Grateful to be alive today. Here we go, kids. My husband and I met in 2007. My laptop had broken and I was referred to him. We were both 42. 2 weeks after we met, my atrophied right kidney exploded. And as I laid on the emergency room gurney, he told me he loved me for the first time. You could say that illness was part of our relationship from the very start. And after only 2 weeks of dating, he decided to move in to take care of me. And it was not pretty kind of caregiving. We married 1 year and 1 day to the day we met, and we had a normal life until the summer of 2017, when my chronic illness became blatantly evident. After 5 months of being bedridden, some improvements began, but thanks to my 5 autoimmunes and the way menopause affected me, intercourse became impossible. My libido vanished. We were screwed. And frankly, I came in with a lot of unskillful beliefs around sex and marriage. I compared our sex life to what I now know as societal hype. And I'll tell you, I nearly killed myself in trying to fulfill obligatory sexual norms that I created that had nothing to do with my husband or reality. 6 months into marriage, we actually had to stop physically sleeping in the same bed due to temperature differences in body clocks. And now sex was off the table. I mean, what kind of marriage was this? I wanted a husband, not a roommate. My inner critic was having a field day. I was filled with these screaming voices of guilt and shame and self-loathing. You know, surely he would leave me. And I couldn't blame him. Thanks to higher power's guidance, I was rigorously honest with him. And don't get me wrong, I was shaking in my boots. I told him that intercourse not only pained me during, but for days after. And His response left me speechless. He said, okay, sex is off the table. Said, I can't stand the thought that I am hurting you. And believe me, I know how lucky I am. But it did nothing to shift my self-loathing or silence that inner critic. I hit the jackpot with my CPA sponsor. She had PhD, literally, quality, experience, strength, and hope to share on this very subject. And we got to work. I was powerless again over this condition. And she suggested that Sean and I find new ways of being intimate. You know, easier said than done, right? How radically creative could we be so that both our needs were met, but we're still honoring our authentic selves? You know, how to stop the self-shaming self-talk, how to not feel like less of a woman, less of a wife, less of a lover. I prayed to higher power to show me the way. And this is where fake it till I can make it came in. I began focusing on my hygiene. How creative could I be? A showering is challenging. Cue the wet wipes, the dry shampoo, and I began dressing, albeit simply, to please myself. And I would do my eyebrows. I still hated what I saw in the mirror, but my mood began to shift. I felt a little better about myself. Then I did the sexual fourth step. I went on the lookout for the societal hype and my unskillful belief systems around sex, marriage, and intimacy. In my day-to-day thinking, where is it? And I began reframing each identified thought as soon as it entered my mind. No, that's a lie, Letha. That is not true. That's somebody else's belief, not yours, Letha. I submitted hundreds of humble requests to my higher power to give me a new relationship with myself, my body, intimacy, sex, marriage, and my husband. I am enough. I know enough. I have enough. I do enough. I am enough became my mantra. Reframing my obsessive negative thinking with the acceptance of my powerlessness, self-compassion, and humble requests really helped. It was suggested that I make a list of all the ways I contributed to the quality of my husband's life. Well, I honor and offer him support to try new things. I tell him daily what an awesome, smart, and respectable man he is. I add humor and lightness, regardless of the pain. I gently caress him throughout the day. I came up with 23 non-doing, non-sexual things that I do to support his quality of life. And I shared the list with my husband, adding a few in the moment, as did he. He said that he had never consciously noted all these things, and my sharing of this list had already shifted his perspective. And it did for me too. We began praying together early in the morning. Pardon me. We began praying early in our marriage. So that was covered. But what else could I do? I went to outside literature. I introduced the meditation book for couples called The More We Find in Each Other. And we would read it on the lanai every night. It's an incredible book. I suggested we do the 20 sex-enhancing questions that pertain to our situation that I found on a Google search. We instituted date night, which frankly consisted of having dinner in my bed while watching a movie. But we would eat dessert first. And sometimes we'd feed each other fruit. The list goes on and on. My point is, I made it a priority to improve our intimacy. Again, how radically creative could I be while still honoring my physical, emotional, and spiritual realities? And things began to change. I feel so much more connected to and a part of our team. I now look forward to giving him foot rubs when I can, not out of obligation, but out of genuine affection and playfulness. And indeed, my changed attitude aided my recovery from this emotional, spiritual, and sexual debilitation that not only affected me, but affected my husband and our marriage. Yes, I did a lot. But it was the spiritual awakening promised in step 12 that removed the murderous inner critic and did give me a new relationship with myself. I can now walk by that mirror and have nothing negative to say. And that is higher power. Self-acceptance, self-care, and self-love opened the door to a new, deeper, and more fulfilling way of relating to my husband. They say the family situation is bound to improve as I apply the principles of the program in my daily life, and it sure did. Now, don't get me wrong, there are occasions when I slip into grief and regret that I can't be the kind of physical lover I would like to be. But thanks to my CPA tools, it doesn't last as long and I don't go as deep into the misery. For serenity to be possible, I must accept reality and trust that everything is working towards my and my husband's greatest and highest good. My illness has brought emotional maturity to both of us. And we have come to believe that all we need is love. Now, I have a gift for you. I have made some intimacy idea cards. And go for a walk, listen to music together, date night, draw pictures of each other, play a board game, movie night, pick a flower or a pretty rock and give it to them. Go for a drive to nowhere. Color a coloring book together. Share a compliment. The list goes on, and I'm going to put the link in chat. You can print them out on business cards or just on a piece of paper and cut them out. How creative can we be to do what we want to do, but in new ways? Thank you so much. I love you guys. And thank you, God, for CPA.
Thank you so much, Micah and Letha, for your shares on both those topics. I'm going to read the sharing guidelines, and then we'll open it up to shares.